Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to start there, and I think we'll probably go over to the book of Romans, but we'll see. And okay, Hebrews chapter, latter part of chapter 3. I've been over this quite a few times. It's absolutely amazing when you look at religion of any sort, and most of what's called Christianity, it's all about what man can do for God. You know? And the fact of the matter is, think about what the scripture says. How many just people are there upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not? Scripture says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So you go to church, and they're always talking about your conduct. Well, if they're talking about your conduct, you're going to quit going because you get tired of them telling you how bad you are. Now, the bottom line is, none of us deserve heaven. If we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell. And that's the absolute truth of it. So, are some people better at times than others? And at times those same people are worse. Yeah. In this sin-racked body that we have a tendency, you know, naturally, to think according to what we've received in disobedience to God. Yeah. And it's amazing to me how many churches pattern their whole ministry on the lie of the devil. The devil said, you know, oh, you won't surely die. You ever see anybody that just keeps living, never dies? You know, the patriarchs, they, you know, they lived much longer than we do. But it was necessary in the beginning of the human family. You know, and now they're trying to kill us off. Well, here, let me give you a pill so you don't get a manufactured problem. You know, and look how many people have died from after they've gotten a COVID shot. The shot's supposed to help you. You know, I can remember, it's been probably 5 years ago now, or maybe it had been about the time that Joanne died, somewhere in that area, which would be more like 4 years. But I went in for my checkup, and Dr. Brandt wanted to give me a pneumonia shot. And I said, I don't handle flu shots. I don't handle any shots of that nature well. Now, when I was in the Air Force, the government owned my body. I had to get the shots. We had to keep the shot list up. But every time I got a flu shot, I got the flu. Yeah. So I don't want the pneumonia shot. Well, he finally talked me into it. And when I got it, I was absolutely out of my mind for about 6 weeks. I managed to do things, you know. I couldn't, you know, one day I opened the door for Debbie or something, and I sat down at the chair, and I was hanging over about ready to fall on my head. You know, Debbie told me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's crazy. Now, here I am, 91 years old, according to the way people think. Oh, if you're a good person, you'll live a long life. Well, I found out there, because the scripture says of me, There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So who is going to have a long life because they're exceptionally good? No one. Yeah. Our lives are dependent upon the Lord. And he raises up the basis of men to rule. If you want to really get frustrated, put your hopes in one party or the other. They'll both screw you before the day is over with. Yeah. Maybe that's not a good way of putting it. But they're interested in being in office and making as much money as they can make. Yeah. And, at the root of all the evils is what? The love of money. Well, let's get into this, where I want to be. And as we finish this third chapter of Hebrews, it says, well, let's see, let's back up. For we are made partakers, verse 14, of Christ. This is chapter 3 in Hebrews and verse 14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What's our confidence? Christ. It's our faith. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have perfect faith? Well, the Lord gives us enough faith to believe him. And that, however little that is, and at whatever point in time that is, that'll take you all the way. Because our conduct has absolutely nothing to do with whether we go to heaven or hell. If you think that you are going to go to heaven because of your conduct, I guarantee you, you're going to hell. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if you think your conduct is good enough to stand before a holy and righteous God, then Christ died for nothing. And who is Christ? He's God incarnate. And he suffered at the hands of the Jews and the Romans, just, ignominious crimes. And when we read about it back in the book of Isaiah, his form was so changed that he wasn't recognizable as human. You see all of these Roman church crosses, the benign look on our Lord's little trickle of blood. No, they beat the living daylights out of him. And he bore that for you, and he bore it for me. And so we need to be thankful for that. It's so easy to take what we have, as believers in Jesus Christ. No one goes to heaven because they're good, but God in his infinite mercy and grace gave us enough faith to believe that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So, I have eternal life, you have eternal life. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Everybody memorizes John 3:16, and very few people believe it. The man just can't get away from getting his personal conduct involved in his relationship with God. I'll show you how involved it is. When we have a bank robbery in town, or we have somebody sets half of Eugene on fire, some hideous crime of that sort, do you run out to the cemetery immediately and start saying, "All right, which one of you rascals had something to do with that?" It sounds absurd. So, how much does my life have to do with my relationship with the Lord? Very little. The only thing that can be remembered by God that I do, that you do, or any other believer in Jesus Christ does, is what God gives us, a spiritual gift first of all, to believe on him. And secondly, after he's given us that, and we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, just remember that. Are we ever going to eat any perfection out of these bodies as long as we're in them? No. When the Lord finally raises us and glorifies us, then we'll know what it means to be sinless, but not until. And we're dealing with Jews. And the Jews in this book of Hebrews, and the writer is writing to Jews for the most part who were believers. But because he's dealing with Jews, and we'd have to say the same thing no matter where you've come from out of the or under the canopy of Christianity, you may have been in a very legalistic church, you know. You may have been in a Pentecostal church, for example. And then under Pentecostalism, they deny the eternal security of the believer. Well, if you're not eternally secure, you're not secure at all. And you don't have that security because of anything you've done. God gave you the faith to believe that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, what should be, and I don't want to make it of a legalistic nature, what should be the one thing that we evoke more than anything else?
Thanksgiving.
Are you really thankful that the Lord loved you and gave himself for you? Or do you think after a while, well, I'm not such a bad guy? No, God can't be in the presence of any sin. And we're all sinners from our mother's womb. We are all guilty of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the funny thing about it is the devil took that tree and spun it around, put his spin on it, and virtually everything under the canopy of Christianity now and under Judaism in the past is based not upon the truth of the Word of God, but upon the lie of the devil. Everybody thinks you still have something to do with your eternal security. Yeah, we've got whole denominations under the canopy of Christianity that deny the eternal security of a believer. Well, if you're not eternally secure, you have no security at all. Yeah. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're eternally secure. Does that mean that you always do the right thing? No, probably most of the time you do the wrong thing. Yeah. And people will point their finger at you, and I saw that preacher do this, and I saw him do that. How can he have any hope of heaven when I've seen him do the things that I've seen him do, or I've imagined him to do, or whatever? It doesn't make any difference whether you do it or don't do it. You're still going to be accused. You know? And we need to recognize that. So we don't have to put up a facade. We don't have to pretend to be something we're not. We just have to recognize, look, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Christ died for sinners. If you believe on him, you have eternal life. If you don't, you don't. So if you want to think that you can make it to heaven by the works of your own hands, have at it. You know, I just want to warn you, that's the road to hell. The road to hell, you know, always in the movies, you got the girls with the big boobies, and that's their boyfriends. And a beer in one hand and another guy in the other hand, or whatever. Yeah. And people think, oh, that's terrible. Well, it can be. You can go too far down that road. But if you try to pretend that you've never been down that road or one like it, then you're just self-deceived. So let's go on here. Well, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ, in verse 14, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What does that mean? If, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a faith that God gave you then you will maintain your confidence unto the end. Well, people can discourage you and all that type of thing, but you can't lose your salvation. What kind of, Jesus said, for God so loved the world, John wrote it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish, but have what kind of life?
Eternal
life. Yeah. In other words, eternal is eternal. We had a beginning, but in real eternal life, there's no beginning, and there's no end. It's forever. That's the life that God has. So he says that whosoever will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, what do you suppose that the author to the book of Hebrews is talking about when he's talking to Jews about their relationship with the Lord? And he says, don't harden your heart. Well, who does he go talk about next? Let's see. For some in the past, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. How did the Jews provoke God when they came out of Egypt? Was it because they moaned and groaned here and there? The real provocation was God gave them a law, they heard it, and they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. The whole world is trapped in that lie. So all of the religious systems outside of the canopy of Christianity are trapped in that lie. And those who are under the canopy of Christianity and do not believe in the security of the believer, they are just playing a game because they think they're maintaining their eternal life by the lives that they live. And if that's the way they think, they're lost. So some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. We had a handful that, we had that went into the lion. But the most part, it was all but, I think, two fellows that died off in the wilderness. He goes on to say, but who was whom or with whom was he grieved 40 years? Now, what was the period of time they were in the wilderness? 40 years. The Jews said at the beginning of that 40 years, just 2 months out of Egypt, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, this motley crew of sinners just like us say to God who knows everything and God who's willing to go to the cross of Calvary in the person of Jesus Christ and bear the judgment of those same people. And they're saying, oh, we can do it ourselves. Okay. You talk about a provocation to God. That's provocation. Okay. So with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them? And they had to put a helping verb in here. We have all sinned in the past. But this isn't referring to that. This is referring when Eve was deceived in the eating of the tree, she sinned. And when Adam, out of his love for her, because he wasn't deceived, he also ate of it, he sinned. That singular sin is the one that we talk about over in Romans, where we have the definite article in front of sin. And what is it? The concept that we can be like God by the life that we live. What corrupts the truth? That very same lie. What is the corruption in all of the other religious systems of the world? That same lie. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but me, by me. Now, the people that Jesus is saving are not good people. They're sinners that recognize that they're sinners. But they also recognize that Christ died for them And God gave them the faith to believe. So what can you expect in terms of conduct from me, or what can I expect in terms of conduct from you? Can I expect you to always be sweet and nice and sinless in your life? Absolutely not. You know, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but that's the deception of the devil. It began in the garden. You know, it really began when God judged the original earth. Because we go back in the latter part of the Old Testament, and the serpent, or Satan, you know, was lifted up in pride. For what reason? Because of his great beauty. And when we read the description, it sounds like he was covered with all of the jewels that we can find now buried in the earth. They used to be on the person of Lucifer. And I've imagined, I can't prove this, but he was that anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? The earth. What kills us? The sun. You realize in the new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be an S-U-N, but there will be a capital S-O-N. And we will have life because of the Son of God. But on this earth, we can't exist without the sun, but at the same time that we can't exist without it, it's ultimately going to kill us. So, and you've been watching me go around here with scabs on my head for months, and I can't do a thing about it. I've been putting all kinds of medications that the VA gave me, and you know, it's getting better. And I'm going to see the dermatologist tomorrow. And so Sunday, I'm apt to look real bad again. Because typically they get out the liquid nitrogen and take care of everything that they can't take care of with the other medications. Okay. But why does that happen? Because Eve was deceived. You know. And that's why, you know, it has nothing to do with women. You know, many women have a tremendous spiritual understanding. But Eve was deceived. Okay? And God said, because Eve was deceived, I suffer. You know, Paul wrote it, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to preach or to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because she was in the transgression. She was deceived. Yeah. And because she was deceived, what was it about her that deceived her? Her own self-worth. Yeah. Well, I'm not such a bad person. But I'd like to have a knowledge of everything, you know. That'll surely make me an even better person. And then what does Lucifer say? Elohim, God, knows that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be as Elohim. They were already in the image of God. And yet, you know, the capacity to be deceived, and she was. But the scripture tells us Adam was not deceived. And that's why the prohibition, it has nothing to do with whether you women are pretty, or whether you're smart, or whether you can work quadratic equations. You know, no matter how much intelligence you have, God has forbidden you to teach men, you know. And that being the case, you know, we see churches now, more and more females in the ministry. You know, they may be very nice ladies, but they're disobeying God. Because, you know, I suffer a woman. The Apostle Paul wrote it, but how? Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. So I wrote, you know, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority, not over children, but over men. And in the day in which we live, what is amongst women today? Well, we're just as good as those men. You're much better. But don't be, you know, the women today want to be just like men, just as rotten as we are. Swear like a drunken sailor, you know, have tattoos up one side and down the other, and I'm not pointing that finger at you, Emily. You know, but, you know, after you've done it, you realize, hey, this is permanent, you know, and we see people, you know, how in the world can it be comfortable to have your tongue pierced and a rod in your tongue? So what? I guess I'm too old. Never in my wildest moment where I thought of, oh, I want to have a jewel on my tongue. That's crazy. Let's continue. And so he says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that, see, the translators were Anglicans who had formerly been Roman Catholics. And in 1611, they translated the King James Bible. And they put in helping verbs when there were no helping verbs. And they left articles out when there were lots of articles in, you know. So we're not talking about sin, sin in general. We're talking about, was it not with them that sinned? You know, who sinned? Well, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? We're talking about the nation of Israel, who went into the wilderness with a promise. 60 days after they got there, God spoke the law to them. And when they heard it, as one man, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, you go to churches under the canopy of Christianity, they've got the truth of the gospel. But they can't keep their hands off of what you do. No. I can't do anything to lose my salvation. If I'm truly saved, I have eternal life, and when shall I perish? What does the scripture say? Never. Okay. But look how many people involve the life of the believer in whether he's going to go to heaven or hell. In the Roman Catholic Church, you know, the very last thing that has to be done for you if you die in a Roman Catholic hospital, hope that the priest can get by and give you a final mass, sacrifice Christ again and again and again. How many times was Christ crucified?
Once.
Every time the Roman Catholics say the mass, they're crucifying Christ again and again and again. Why? Yeah. Well, the devil gave them that idea. That's what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Turn back to the fourth chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 4. Kind of look at some of the Old Testament patriarchs. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Was Abraham perfect? Well, I read in a Muslim, or a guy that writing about the Muslim faith, they want to make Abraham's, sinless, there's no one born into this human family apart from the virgin birth of Christ. There's never been anybody born into this human family who's been perfect. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. But we don't know how long they were here before Eve was deceived by the serpent. And then they were immediately put out of the garden of God. Why? Because next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the tree of life. So it wasn't preventing them from having the blessings of the garden. Think about what the curse would be, and it's what man ends up with. because we are eternal beings. And we can never perish, whether we're saved or whether we're lost. But in the sense in which that shows, it means we can't be cast into the lake of fire. We can't go to hell. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. So people are always trying to make Abraham to be more than what he was. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. David believed God. Same thing. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Each one of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us the faith to believe. And when we believed, he gave us eternal life. And according to his promise, when shall we perish?
Yeah.
Well, we never will. But what is taught under the canopy of Christianity? Oh, you must live a Christian life. Well, there's no such thing as a Christian life. Not at the present time, anyway. Because the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ counted you to have died. So, you're dead. And your life, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. We're dead and our life is hid with Christ and God. So what we do, you know, sometimes we sin, sometimes, you know. The way we please God is by believing God. And when we get down to what the Word of God really says, that's believing God. But man, with the lie of the devil, keeps looking for something, you know, which will prove that I'm a good person. And there are how many just men are there upon the earth? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know, that is, of those born of woman, in the natural sense of the word, there's no such thing as a good man or a good woman. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, God was his Father. He is fully God and fully man. You know, through the virgin birth, he became a man. He became a Jew. He lived his life as a Jew under the law, and he's the only Jew that ever kept it. He's the only one that could. Because what was in that law can only be done by God. But the lie of the devil, what is the law for? It's to point, you know, look at the lie of the devil. And all of us talk about Christian living. I've heard it here, there, and everywhere, the three schools I went to, you know, constantly about your conduct. Well, good conduct's better than bad conduct. But our relationship with God, not predicated of conduct, is based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. He did it for us. It's charged to our account. You know? And truth of the matter is, Brother Stewart used to say to those dairy farmers in the Bellflower area, he said, take good care of my father's cows. That's scriptural. See? The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to whom?
God.
To God. See? So, yeah, take care, good care of my cows. Let's continue here. Back in the fourth chapter of Romans. For Abraham, for if Abraham were justified by works, listen to this, Pentecostals. Listen to this, Mormons. Listen to this, Roman Catholic. Listen to this, Anglicans. Listen to this. Most of the people that claim to be Baptists, even though Baptist doctrine, you know, it doesn't involve personal behavior in your relationship with God. Yeah. But over time, everything gets eroded. So, if Abraham were justified by works, okay, put your name in there. I'll put my name in there. If I were justified by works, if you were justified by works, then what? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He'd really have something to brag about, but not before God. Ultimately, what did the sacrifice of Jesus Christ do? It made us fit for the presence of God. So we're not going to get, all of the things that Abraham did, he did by faith. He didn't do any of them perfectly, but he still acted in faith. But none of them were self-generated. It's even, I know people don't understand it, but I've been studying for a long time. I was saved when I was 21 and a half years old. So in January, I will be 90 years old, 70 years old. I get it right. Yeah, I'm already 91 years old. I'll be 70 years old in the Lord. As a human being, it's not news to anybody. If you read the Word of God, there has to be sin in my life. There has to be sin in your life. Why? Because the Scripture says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Is good behavior better than bad behavior? I would say so. But our relationship with the Lord is not based upon our behavior. It's based upon the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that does what? Cleanses us from all sin. So, and without that blood, we're damned. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and put your name in there, because it fits too. I'll put my name in there. Okay, for what saith the Scripture? I believed God, and it was counted unto me for righteousness. What was true of Abraham is true of every believer. None of us are fit for God's presence because of who we are, or because of what we do, or because of what we may do. Because we can still stir up a pretty good pot. And I'm using euphemisms and other things. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and the fact that he believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh. Now we're going to the nation of Israel, who insist upon all that the Lord has spoken we can do. Did they? Could they? No. All of the people, that pretend to be holy, are they really? No. We have holiness imputed to us. We have righteousness imputed to it or charged to our account. The Lord obtained them for us. But we don't have them because of us. We have it because he gave us the faith to believe him. And that's the only reason we have it. And he did that knowing every rotten thing we'd ever do. Because all of that took place when? Before the foundation of the world. So, he goes on to say, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God owes me heaven. If anything that I've done preaching over the years, no, I've done everything that is of any value, because if it wasn't by faith, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and their sins and iniquities will I remember when? No more. So I very hope that I've done some things by faith, because otherwise I'm going to be a beggar. I won't lose my salvation, but I won't have any rewards or crowns to cast before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he only is worthy to reign. So why do we serve the Lord? Why do we preach? Why do we give our tithes and offering? Why do we try to get the gospel in all the world? Because our Lord gave us a command. Go ye therefore into all the world and do what?
Preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel. He spoke that nearly 2,000 years ago, but it's still in effect. Because faith comes how?
Hearing by the word of God.
Faith doesn't come by somebody, by observation. You know, nobody's going to be saved because you're a good person. You know, in the first place, you're not a good person. I'm not a good person. I've got nothing to brag about when it comes to, you know, it doesn't mean that everything I did was bad. but we have nothing that we can offer God from this natural body of ours. It's only what he does in us and through us in this body for which he can reward us at the judgment seat of Christ. And so, my mind said, and this in no wise exalts me in any sense of the word, but this is what I hope will be the case. I hope that either the Lord's going to come very soon, or at my age, you know, 10, 20 years at the very most, you know. And I don't think the world's going to last that long in the first place. And in the second place, you know, I've got nothing about me of which I can boast. If I know anything from the word of God, I know it because of the Lord. You know, and if I have any particular gifts and being able to put forth the word of God, I have it because of him. Same thing with you. We all have at least one gift or gift. And it's possible to have a spiritual gift and be operating in it, but you're not aware of it, you know, because you've never thought about it. You know. And it's probably a good thing. Otherwise, people would say, start boasting about what gifts they got. You know. Anything we have because of God. And he gave it to us. He enables the gifts that we have. Otherwise, they wouldn't function at all. So if that's the case, it's Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. Okay. So as the Lord Jesus Christ operating in me and through me over the years of my ministry, can I boast that it was always Christ operating in? No, there was a little guy in there by the name of Dale Andre. He had plenty to do too. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. These people, particularly preachers, are very bad at trying to convey the image that they're good. You know, if they are quote unquote good and they're not, but the fact that they think they are disqualifies them for the ministry, because we're sent into all the world to do what? Preach the gospel. And for by grace, what's the gospel? For by grace, grace is unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, the faith, is not of yourself. That, the faith, is the gift of God. Why? Not of work, lest any man should boast. So, anything that I've done over the course of my ministry, nearly 70 years now, is by God's grace. You know, and if I've been able to do anything at all, it's because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Same way, what is true of me is true of each of us. There's too much of this crowing. You know, people always got to brag about something. And there's way too much of that under the canopy of Christianity. That's where all of these things that we can't do get pushed up. You know, where people are operating in the lie of the devil when they're trying to make themselves fit for God's presence. Because that's what Lucifer told Eve she would gain. Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be as Elohim. Well, I'm already, you know, judicially charged with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Who is Elohim? He's God. Who is Elohim? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we get things right, and we see that there are things that we can do that the Lord would allow us to do, and enable us to do, then there comes a time when, at first, you know, I don't know too many people that were ever really called to the ministry, whoever really wanted to be in the ministry. You know, but once you recognize the Lord put me here, and it's an awesome responsibility, but there's nothing that brings greater joy. Brings a lot of sorrow too at times, but that's who we are. I'm going to read just a couple more verses. Now to him that worketh, in verse 4, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if we're doing the work of God because of our own motivation, then God owes us heaven. But since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, how can that possibly work? It can't. So that's what? That's a fairy tale, you know. But it's what most people think, you know. And so many people, when they're at my age, I don't have any fear of death whatsoever. You know, I know that however long I live, whatever it happens to be, that will be the age that God set for me before the foundation of the world. However long you live, same thing. Whether it's a short time, a long time. You know, the length of it doesn't make any, you know, the way I look at it is that as long as I'm still called to preach, I don't get to go home and be with my Lord. So, and we haven't any idea what the glories are going to be when at last we see him. And then this side of it, it's never happened except to two people, and for not very long. There's never been anybody on this earth that could actually say they're like God. You know, we're declared to be just. That's a judicial ruling. We're declared to be righteous. Again, a judicial ruling. It's not that we're, you know, because of anything that we have done, that we have any kind of rewards. It's Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. So who gets the glory ultimately? The one who loved us and gave himself for us. All of a sudden, my ears must be getting water in them or something. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And we pray that as we go to our respective homes, that you'll just cause us to ponder for a while and think about what we actually have in Christ. And then use that, Father, in our individual lives for our motivation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.